Our lapel mic is not working, and so we'll have to wait till next week to get a new one. Should be on the way. Give me a second to get up my PowerPoint. While I'm doing this, if you don't have a family news, be sure and get one for the outline on the fourth page. If you see on the family news on the fourth page, you say, wow, look at all those scriptures. We're going to be here most of the afternoon. Actually, those scriptures that are in bold will be the only ones we'll be reading. And they're not more important than the others, but I think there's one of them that I didn't put in bold that I meant to. But anyway, those that are in bold will be the ones that we'll read. It's a quote. The others we will refer to, but I had intended to have one lesson all at once, so to speak, but you'll see this is part one. By the time I got through with the whole lesson, I had to put part one. Next time we'll do part two, and it kind of divides itself in that way. And I just noticed, too, that under the definition of terms here, you'll see number one, Old Testament usage, number two, New Testament usage. After I sent this to Kelly for her to put it in the news, I saw it this morning, I realized that, as you'll see, the Old Testament has both negative and positive aspects of our subject too, but I didn't divide up the Old Testament like I did the New on this. Is it okay to boast? Is it okay to brag? That's a yes and no question, isn't it? I mean, it's a yes and no answer. Let's see if you recognize, get the PowerPoint going here. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame for that world of lost sinners. Did I leave out of mine? I love that old cross for the dearest and best, for the worlds of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. I'll become my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it for my crown. I have had problems, trouble, and this is me. I'm not trying to get you involved. Singing that song and putting the words figuratively, because it just sounds like it's talking that old rugged cross. We're talking about the wood. This fellow here was a poet. Well, this one here too was too. that's the poetry there, and it's put to music in this slide here. But anyway, who was that one there? George Bernard wrote that in 1912. This fellow here is a poet, and he said, "In the cross of Christ I glory, towering o'er the wrecks of time, all the light of sacred story, gathers round its head sublime. That says more or less what our lesson is about today. He says, I glory in the cross. And you're going to see that that's what, or we already have seen, that's what Paul said in Galatians 6 that Ken read for us. But I want to look at the text in its context. Glorying and boasting in the cross. In Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 12 through 13. What's the context here? Well, it's right at the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Galatians. But just get a little bit of background about what Paul is talking to the Galatians about. In the early days of God's people, in Acts the 15th chapter, for instance, there arose a heresy that was taught by what we call Judaizing teachers. It was the Jews that still wanted to hang on to part of the law. In Acts the 15th chapter, verse 5, 1 and 5, this heresy is spoken about, and it was needful, it says, these heretics to circumcise them, the Gentiles, and to command that they keep the law of Moses. When this reached Antioch from Jerusalem, then Paul and Barnabas opposed the heresy up there in Antioch in chapter 15, verse 2 of Acts. And the Holy Spirit revealed to Barnabas and Paul that they should go down to Jerusalem and speak the truth concerning salvation by grace through faith. Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 1 and 2. Paul had a private meeting with the elders there and apostles in Jerusalem. Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 2. Then the apostles, having discussed it with the elders, challenged those of the sect of the Pharisees. Chapter 15, verse 4 through 7 of Acts 15. After Peter spoke, Paul spoke, James spoke, the matter was resolved by application of Scripture, and then there was a letter written to the churches in the region concerning the heretics who went out and preached that you must become a Gentile in order to be saved. Paul and Barnabas returned to Antioch, and they continued their work there in the rest of the 15th chapter of Acts. The Judaizers had infiltrated the Galatian churches and had subverted many of the members away from the grace of Christ to another gospel, Paul says in Galatians 1, verse 6. And they compelled the Gentile Christians to be circumcised, Galatians the 2nd chapter, verse 3. There were some that would even withdrew themselves, separated themselves from the uncircumcised Gentiles at mealtime. It was an act of exclusion. That's how far it had gone. Peter, when he went up to Antioch, was himself involved in it. That is, withdrawing himself from those. They also, the Judaizers, taught the observance of days and months and times and years. Galatians 4, verse 10. So it just wasn't a question of circumcision. That word is used to describe the whole of the law that these people were trying to keep. In our text, Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 12 through 15, Paul takes a parting shot, so to speak, at the sect of the Pharisees in the Galatian letter, the Judaizing teachers. In Galatians 6, verse 12, he says, they are cowards, cowards. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh. I'm reading Galatians 6, 12. Who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, that's one reason. That's what I said. They were cowards. they were also hypocrites. Verse 13. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. These people who were teaching that you had to be a Gentile if you want to be a Christian are using their brethren for their own ends, as the latter part of verse 13 says there. Now, the objective of our study is to focus on the statement that Paul makes there, God forbid that I should glory or that I should boast save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In order to do that, focus on that statement, first of all, we want to define our terms. The word glory, as the King James Version, the Old American Standard Version uses, or boast, as is found in most versions. We want to define our term, and then learn why Paul rejects all glorying and boasting except that which is in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now that's a very full term. We're going to find that it's just not the cross of literally of Christ that we're talking about. But then in conclusion, we'll make personal application from this lesson, and that's part two. So first of all, now we got a little bit of the context of Galatians. On Wednesday evening, we were talking about Romans being Paul's magnum opus. Is that the word, magnum? Well, that's kind of the way I feel about Romans. And I almost feel that way about Galatians. It's such a powerful letter to show that we're saved by grace through faith and not by keeping of law. Anyway, definition of boast or glory. Strong's exhaustive concordance says, properly, it's living with a head up high. I'll go around, I'm something. Or boasting from a particular vantage point. The Jews, these Judaizing teachers, boasted because we are Abraham's seed. So from a particular vantage point, they boasted. The Greek word there for boast or glory is one of the most difficult Greek words for me to pronounce. I don't even know if I want to try it. But it's most often this Greek word is translated boast, as we said, in some versions, particularly King James and the Old American Standard, use the word glory. And it means to take pride in. It means to brag, as you could see from Strong's definition of it. So, glory or boast in Old Testament usage. Negatively, in the Old Testament, there are many proverbs that teach against self-glorying or boasting. So we have here in Proverbs, the 25th chapter, verse 14, like clouds and wind, without rain. He's making a comparison here. Like clouds and wind without rain. We had that over in Anacortes last week. We had some clouds and we had some wind. We didn't have much rain, but anyway, empty clouds. Is the man who boasts of a gift he does not give. You got the picture? I don't give this person a gift, but I boast about giving him a gift. In Proverbs, Proverbs the 27th chapter, verse 1 and 2, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring. Sounds like James, isn't it? James must have read Proverbs. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. So you see here what we're talking about. When in the Old Testament, it uses the word boast in a negative way. Here's what you shouldn't do. You shouldn't be like this. In 1 Kings, the 20th chapter, verse 11, and the king of Israel answered, tell him, let not him who straps on his armor boast himself as he who takes it off. That's a pretty good picture, isn't it? The person who is strapping on his armor starts boasting about, look what great soldier I am. No. After you take it off and you've won the victory, then you can proclaim how great you are, if it's even good then. Anyway, and Psalms, the 73rd chapter, verse 11 through verse 3 through 11. But as for me, and it's a rather long reading, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For they have no pangs until death. Their bodies are fat and sleek. They are not in trouble as others are. They are not stricken like the rest of mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers as a garment. Their eyes swell through fatness. Their hearts overflow with follies. They scoff and speak with malice. Loftily they threaten oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue struts through the earth. Therefore his people turn back to them and find no fault in them. And they say, how can God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Perhaps you didn't get the implication there in that long reading, but he's talking about people who boast. But in the Old Testament as well, there is some boasting that is not negative in God's sight, that is approved. In Proverbs, or rather in Jeremiah, the ninth chapter, verse 23, and is this where I have it bold, but I do not have it under the positive. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Maybe I don't have it here in my sheet. That's another thing I left out, perhaps. Yep. Anyway, I have Psalms 34, verse 2. Maybe this is it. Jeremiah. I had the wrong chapter down on my sheet here. Let's read Jeremiah here first. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, and let not the rich man boast in his riches. Now there's the negative side, but verse 24, but let him who boast, all right, so you can boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So you can boast in what God is and what God does. That's Jeremiah. Okay, let's go to Psalms 34, verse 2. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. You see where he makes his boast? In the Lord, let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt, let us boast in his name together. So in the Old Testament, there's that side. So when I asked the question, is it all right to boast? And you said no, well, that's part of the question, part of the answer. And if you said yes, that's the other part of the answer. We find it both in the Old and the New. But in the New Testament, the usage there, Negatively, self-glorying takes on a shade of meaning as it did in the Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, it characterized those who were without God, those who were in rebellion to God. But many times in the New Testament, it refers to actual believers that are seeking acceptance from God, but their approach to God is flawed. Let me see if I can illustrate this with Romans 2. Read verse 17 through 25. We're not going to go there. But you remember those people, it was the Jews in chapter 2 that they're talking about. Back in chapter 1, he was talking about the Gentiles. But then Paul said, now look out now, you Jews don't have whereof to boast. But they were in effect saying, we're God's children, we're Abraham's seed. They believed in God. They weren't rebellious like I was talking a while ago, but their approach to God was flawed. For Paul in Romans, the Jews were glorying, boasting. It was a reliance upon works of righteousness which we have done. In Titus 3 and verse 5, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy and by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's not boasting. We cannot boast on that which we have done, but what God has done for us. Paul categorically rejected the idea that there was anything of merit in sinners that could be a ground of justification. Let me say that again while we turn to Ephesians, the second chapter, very familiar verse. Paul rejected the idea that there's anything of merit in sinners that can be a ground of justification. For by grace have you been saved through faith. That not of your own doing, it's a gift of God. Not a result of works, parenthetically, that we have done, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we should walk in him. God prepared the good works that we ought to walk in. We can't prepare our own good works, and he accepted us in place of our sinning. Positively, in the New Testament, the concept of glorying or boasting continues as it did in the Old Testament. In 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verse 17, let the one who boasts, let him boast, what Paul is saying here, but let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. Paul, in that verses that we read in Galatians 6, 12 through 15, he boasted in the cross of Christ. But let's see what else he boasted in. He boasted in the churches. And you have there on your sheet the ones that are not bold. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4 through 5, 2 Corinthians 9, 2. He boasted in the churches. In other words, he complimented the churches there that he's talking about for what they were doing, their own work. No, they were doing God's work. And so he glorified or boasted in the churches. Thessalonica and Macedonia and Achaia is another there in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. When he was telling the Corinthians to go ahead and continue the taking up the collection, He told them about the Macedonians. He boasted about them, how that they first gave of themselves and then they gave. So you get the idea of what I mean, that Paul gloried or boasted in the churches. He also boasted in his gifts and his calling. From 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 12. He didn't go out and say, all right, God, you're going to use me here. I'm going to go out and do all this and that and the other. No, he gloried in the gifts that God had given him and his being called, even though he was the chiefest of the sinners and so forth. But he could boast in what God did with him. He also boasted in his tribulations. That sounds odd, but there in Romans 3, 2 Corinthians 11, and 2 Corinthians 12, Paul didn't enjoy. He just wasn't happy jumping up and down type of joy when he was stoned, left for dead, when he was in shipwreck, and all of those things. Those are tribulations. When the Judaizing teachers would come around and try to contradict what he said, but he understood that those things made him stronger. Those things were a help to him in getting the gospel out and in doing his work in the Lord. He gloried justly also in his salvation. He was one who was bound to bind Christians and take them back to Jerusalem for prison, killing some of them, sitting at while the people stoned Stephen. But God chose him as one out of due season, and he boasted, he gloried in the fact that God did that for him. He didn't do it, but that he did it for men, that God did it for him. He gloried justly in all these things because they were accomplished in him or others, for instance, the churches, by God through Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, Philippians 3, verse 13. So, I know when I was growing up that the word boast always had a bad connotation. I hadn't really thought about it. Well, yes, there are times when we can boast in the Lord for what he is, what he's done for me, and so on. So the question is, and I realize that's a very small print, but what does the cross mean in you or for you? Because that's our passage in Galatians 6, 12 through 15. I glory or I boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, we'll talk more and apply what we've said here in our part two and see if we can glory is the way that we can boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Forgot the song number, whoever is leading now, but... 608. Say that again.
608 in the blue.
608 in the blue.